And thank you for those great piano numbers. Those are great. Man, I wish I would have kept on playing the piano. I just needed some inspiration. You've been an inspiration for me. That's great. Well, how many are tired? How many have a headache? How many feel like it's 10 o'clock? All right, we're all in the same boat. All right, open up your Bibles. Open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. Let's all stand, follow along. Someone next to you doesn't have their Bible. You share your Bible with them, if you would, please. Revelation chapter 20. You got me, Josh. Josh said, Pastor, I just thought you were on. You got such a big mouth. He didn't say that. But no, he was thinking about that. Revelation chapter 20. Verses 11 through 15, you follow along as I read. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Father, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts tonight from your word. Father, we're quieting our hearts before you tonight. Holy Spirit, we're asking you to work in this place. Dear God, we know that we can glean much from your word. And Father, I pray tonight that you would help us as we look at this great white throne judgment. You would help us understand even a greater light, eternity. Now, Father, bless in this time. I thank you for these young people. I thank you for their attentiveness and their responsiveness. I thank you, Father, for many new friends that I learned to love over these last few days. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would help us in this time. It would be a profitable time. We know you're watching. We know you're with us. We know, Father, you know our thoughts. We pray our thoughts would be your thoughts tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I've not been before a judge too many times in my life. I can remember the first time I was before a judge. I was 18 years old. I was coming home from college. I was driving my 64 Falcon. What an embarrassment that was. 64 Blue Falcon, four-cylinder. You had to push it to get it to 75, but it went 75. And I remember getting home, driving from Maranatha Baptist Bible College to Duran, Michigan, actually to Fenton, Michigan at that time. And I remember parking my car, and my mom had this wonderful meal made for me, and I didn't care anything about the meal. I just wanted to go see my beautiful girlfriend, who is now my wife. And I remember jumping in the shower, shaving quickly, throwing a bunch of high karate after shave. Remember that stuff? How many? Anybody? Yeah, Jimmy, you remember that, don't you? High karate, yeah. That's for the muscular men. And I remember brushing my teeth extra good. Because who knows, maybe tonight I'd get a kiss. But anyway, I jumped into my car. My dad said, hey, you don't need to take your car. Take the Oldsmobile. Wow, take the Oldsmobile. Yeah, buddy. That was a new Olds, only had about 5,000-6,000 miles on it. I jumped in that thing, went down my road, Silvercrest Drive, down Owens Road, got on the expressway for a short period of time, got off the expressway, got off the exit ramp, drove down Torrey Road. I knew that route blindfolded, and went down Torrey Road, down to Grove Park Road, pulled into my girlfriend's driveway, jumped out of my car only to turn and see a state trooper. He had followed me all the way from Owens Road. He said, son, come back here. I said, yes, sir. As Kathy's dad's looking out the window, very embarrassing. Kathy's mom's looking out the window, very embarrassing. Kathy's brother's looking out the window going, oh, great, Doug's in trouble. Kathy's sister, Chrissy's going, great, he's in trouble. Anyway, I go to the back. He says, just sit back here in the back, and I need some information from you. He said, where were you going in such a hurry? I said, sir, I just got back from college. I'm going to see my girlfriend. My girlfriend's right there. Matter of fact, you can see her. She's the one that looks panicky in the window as I'm in your car. I said, sir, do you know the word mercy? I'm a divinity student, and I think it'd be great if I could explain the word mercy to you. And he kind of chuckled and smiled and looked at me, and he said, you need mercy. I said, well, sir, what did I do wrong? He said, well, first of all, you were going down Owens, and it's 50 miles an hour, and you were going 57. And then you got on the expressway, and you were going 77. The speed limit, last time I looked, young man, was 70 miles an hour. And then you came to the stop sign on the exit ramp, and you did a Model T stop. Now, I don't know exactly much about a Model T stop. I'm sure that some elderly folks like Brother Tice could tell us about it. But what it is you kind of like, you don't stop the car. You just kind of shift down, and then you go through. And then you went down Torrey Road. The speed limit there is 45, and you were going 50. And then you went down Grove Park Road way too fast. Now, son, what two out of the five do you want me to give you a ticket on? That would be mercy. I said, well, if you would only give me a ticket for the stop sign, I'd appreciate it. He said, well, you're 18 years old. You're going to have to go to court, and you're going to have to stand before the judge. I don't have money for this. I don't have time for this. I don't want to go to jail. It's really funny. About 10 years ago, we were driving down a road, M57 in Michigan, and somebody had given Clint a pair of handcuffs. This is a different story. Somebody had given Clint a pair of handcuffs, and I was driving down the road, and all of a sudden, I see a police car in my rearview mirror, and I said, oh, great, was I speeding? And I was. And the man came up to me. It looked just like Lee Trevino, the golfer, Matt. Looked just like him. And he came to the car and almost shocked me. He looked so much like Lee Trevino. Before I could say anything, Clint was sitting in the front seat. The girls were all in the back seat. Kathy was in the back seat. And Clint said, sir, are you going to put my dad in handcuffs and then put him in jail? The man was so shocked to hear this Down syndrome child say this. He said, no, I'm just going to give your father a warning. I said, thank you, sir. By the way, did anybody ever tell you you look like Lee Trevino? He said, if I was Lee Trevino, I wouldn't be passing out warnings to people like you. But anyway, back to my story. I had to go to the judge. I didn't tell my dad about it, and it's so nice when you have a mother that doesn't tell your father everything. I'm sure before he went to heaven, she probably told him. But went to court. And just so happens I knew the judge. And so I wasn't as afraid as I once was. But that judge said, come to the bench. I walked to the bench and he said, Doug, do you know what you're here for? I said, yes, sir. I broke the law. I ran a stop sign. And he said, you were speeding. And he said, Doug, that's bad. And he told me how bad it was. And he made me feel like this tall. I felt so bad, so scared. But it was nothing like this scene. Nothing. I don't care how scared you've ever been before the person with the most authority in the world. It's nothing like this scene. This is at the end of the 1,000-year millennial reign. Now, let me stop for a moment. Let's go back. Right now, we're living in, everybody help me, we're living in the age of grace. Everyone say that. We're living in the age of grace. Matter of fact, I need you. Right here. Stand right here. All right. You're going to be us living in the age of grace. Here you go. Right here. Stand right here. Jump up here. Quick. Fast as you play the piano, get up here. Okay. All right. He's in the age of grace. Put your arms out like this at any time. At any time, the Lord could come back. Okay, put your arm up like this, straight up like this. The Lord could come back, and that'd be the end of the age of grace. That would start the 7-year tribulation period. 7-year tribulation period. Is your nose stop bleeding? Okay, come on up here. I don't want you to bleed all over the place. All right. He's going to be the start of the seven-year tribulation. All right? He is the start of the seven. Who's he? Who's he? Jesus is going to come in the air, the rapture, the first phase of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that will end the age of grace, and that will start the period called the tribulation. 7 years divided into 2 3.5-year segments. Young lady, come right over here. You're the end of the tribulation. Okay? Yeah, jump right up there. Can't you jump that high? Okay. Okay, so she's the end of the tribulation period. At the end of the tribulation period, there'll be the battle of Armageddon. Everyone say that. All right, so she'll be the end of the tribulation period. I don't want to make her the battle of Armageddon. Okay, but she's the battle of Armageddon. She's the end of the 7 years of tribulation. 7 years of tribulation divide 2 3.5-year segments. All right, and 2 3.5-year segments, 1,260 days each. And at the end of that 7 years of tribulation, that will start 1,000-year. You're smiling because she's standing up here, and you think she's embarrassed. She's not embarrassed. She's glad she could help me out, aren't you? Yes. I'm going to give you some money for that. $5, okay? Is that good? You know, she's pretty cute, isn't she, Kath? I'm going to give her $6. There you go, $6. Okay. Now, she's going to be the end of the seven-year tribulation period, and then there's going to be 1,000-year millennial reign. All right, you go way down there, 1,000-year. Yeah, way down there, okay. Right down there. Actually, let's move this. No, that's all right. Right there. We'll just call this 1,000 years, okay? All right, so she's 1,000 years. This is the end of 1,000 years, so this is 1,000 years here. Actually, you need to get closer to this guy over here. Come right over here, right there. All right, that's 7 years. All right, very good, 1,000 years. All right, so you're 1,000 years, millennial reign. Now, during this 1,000 years, Christ is going to rule with a rod of iron on planet Earth. We're going to reign with him. I'm going to be in charge of the up north area in Michigan so I can close everything on Sunday. Okay, now, the end of the 1,000-year millennial reign, there'll be the great white throne judgment. Guy right there in the white shirt, the cross on his arm, right there. You stand right next to her right here. He's going to be the 1,000-year, at the end of the 1,000 years, he's going to be the great white throne judgment. Before that happens, there's going to be the final battle of Gog and Magog. You stand right between him right here. All right? And you stand right next to him. All right? And then we're going to have the new heavens and the new earth. All right? You be the new heaven and you be the new earth right there. You two girls right over there. All right? Right over there. Quickly. All right, which one wants to be the heaven? Which one wants to be the earth? Doesn't matter. No, it might take a while for you guys to figure that out. All right, now. All right, we're going to go back here. Everyone with me, tell me, this is the day we're living in, and what is this? And an awesome piano player. All right, then what is this? And what is this? The end of the tribulation, seven-year period here. She doesn't want it any closer than 7 years. All right, and then, what is this? 1,000-year millennial reign. Now remember, at the end of the Battle of Armageddon, Satan will be cast into the bottomless pit, and then he'll be released for a period of time after the millennial reign, and that'll be the last battle of Gog and Magog. And at that battle of Gog and Magog, look at, show me your hand. That battle of Gog and Magog, God will speak, and then there'll be the great white throne judgment. And at the great white throne judgment, all those unsaved in this world have ever been unsaved, all those will be cast in a lake of fire forever and ever and ever. And now we have the new heavens and the new earth, and you got it. How many got it? You got it? Let's try it one more time. All right, raise your hand. Let's see if they got it. Go ahead. All right, very good. Here, you guys want some money too? Let me give you some money. Here you go. You're not cute, so you just get $1, all right? You're going to make money playing the piano. Let me see how much you got left. I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I'll have to give you a 5 because I don't want to give those guys a 5. All right, there you go. Here you go to that guy. New heaven and new earth. Girls, come on over here. New heaven and new earth. All right, you guys can be seated. Here's five for each of you. All right, there you go. Now, there you go. Here you go. Sometimes preaching is expensive. All right, now. During that seven-year tribulation period, by the way, if you look in chapter 6 of Revelation, everyone follow along here. If you look in chapter 6 of Revelation, it starts with a series of seven seals, seven trumpets, seven personages, seven bowls or seven vials, seven dooms, seven new things. At the end of the 7 years of tribulation period, we have the Battle of Armageddon, and then we have the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. The difference between the rapture of the Lord Jesus Christ and the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ is that the rapture, he'll be in the air, in the clouds, and at the revelation, he'll be on planet Earth coming down for the last battle of Gog, or for the battle of Armageddon. But we want to focus tonight on the great white throne judgment. Millions who have rejected God, millions who have rejected God's gift, will be cast in a lake of fire. Now follow along. This is truth. This is something we all need to be aware of. I remember when I was about your age, when I was a teenager at camp, we had an old preacher preach a very boring, long message on the great white throne judgment. But the thing that jumped out at me was this portion of Scripture. It kept on going over, I kept on going over this over and over, and death and hell were cast in a lake of fire. That impressed my heart. I want you to notice, first of all, the seat. Notice the Bible says in verse number 11, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the heaven, the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." I saw a great white throne. In the Greek, thronon, megon, leukon, a throne great and white. God's throne, the greatest of all thrones, white, symbolizing purity and holiness and justice. This is God Almighty upon this throne. Before him is this scene arrayed of all the unrepentant sinners of all time. Even the earth and the sky flees. The Bible says it's fled away. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 10, if you have your Bibles, turn there, 2 Peter 3:10. "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in that which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." You may recall at the start of the tribulation, there was a throne in Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 3. And around that throne was a rainbow. Why? Because around that throne, there was a representation of mercy. But there's no mercy around this throne. This is the final throne of judgment. Now the unbelievers will go before God. Those who rejected John 3:16. Perhaps you're here tonight. You've been trying to fake it. You know, how many disciples did Jesus have? 12. Judas was a faker, not a follower. I certainly don't want anybody here to doubt their salvation tonight. But I want you to be sure of your salvation. When you pillow your head tonight, you know for sure you're on your way to heaven. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoso believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." At the end of millennium, there'll be this time that all the unrepentant sinners will appear before God. The Bible says, stand before God. Wow, now, I want you just to picture that in your mind's eye just for a moment. God who is omniscient. God who is omnipresent. God who is omnipotent. The God who said, "I am the I am" to Abraham. In his sight, all things are open. They'll stand before the God that we know as Elohim, the creators of the heavens and the earth. They'll stand before the God whom we know is Jehovah. I am the I am. They'll stand before the God that we know as El Shaddai, the mighty one, the all-sufficient one. They'll stand before the God that we know as Adonai, our Lord, our Master. They'll stand before the God that we know as Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides, the Lord who knows our needs, the Lord who meets our needs. They'll stand before the God as we know Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals, our great physician. They'll stand before the God that we know as Jehovah Nissi. The Lord is our banner of victory. They'll stand before our God, the God that we know as Jehovah Emkoshadash, the Lord who sanctifies. They'll stand before our God, the God we know as Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. But they'll not know our God as that God. They'll know our God as God, their eternal judge, as they stand before God in that day, that great white throne judgment. Yes, it's true. Preachers aren't preaching on hell like they once preached on hell. Time magazine 20 years ago had an article that said hell must not be as hot as it once was because preachers aren't preaching hell, fire, and brimstone. But I'm telling you, young people, you either go to heaven or hell when you die. And the truth of the matter is we need a better look at the lake of fire. When I was youth pastor in Clymer, Pennsylvania, Anna, there was a lumberyard, Nupp's Lumberyard. I remember in the middle of the night, Pastor Allen drove down the hill and he said, Doug, jump in. We were up on the hill and we saw fire over there in Buck Run, just on the other side of Buck Run by what was the name of that little town, baby? Starford. And so we jumped in the car and we couldn't get within a half a mile. That lumberyard, Dr. Tice, was on fire. We could feel the heat a half a mile away. I mean, it was the biggest fire anybody had ever seen in that area. Caught the woods on fire behind it. I mean, it was a huge fire. But that fire is nothing like the fire of the lake of fire. Nothing like the lake of fire. The Bible tells us that God will be on that throne. In my office, when I was a youth pastor, I had on the side of my filing cabinet a picture of God on the throne. He was arrayed in white. You could not see his face. You just saw this glow, the glory of God. Doxa is the New Testament word, glory. Then you saw a courtroom-type scene. And over here was a long line lined up as far as your eye could see. And the painter was so good, he kind of just had the line just vanish away. But you could still tell there was a line. Then over here, there was a huge angel in front of these books. The books were open. And God is on the throne. And God is pointing to the lake of fire. The flames were leaping out of the lake of fire. It was a great picture. I had it in my office for years. It reminded me of how important my responsibility was. There was a cause greater than my own cause. It was God's cause. To keep people out of the lake of fire. We see the throne, the seat. God's on the seat. Secondly, we see the souls. The Bible says, the dead of all ages. Now, how in the world can that happen, the dead of all ages? You ever think about that, the dead of all ages? Well, you are not a body with a soul, but you are a soul with a body. Everyone say that with me. You are not a body with a soul, but you are a soul with a body. Tell the person next to you, your soul. Yeah, your soul. If you're sitting next to your brother, he could be a soul brother. Your soul. Your soul, and I'm a soul. Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Everyone turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. verse number 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the self same thing as God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. One of the greatest differences between man and animals is that man was created after the image of God. We have a spirit. We have a soul. Genesis 1:27 tells us that we are created in the image of God. The truth is, we are created for eternity. Everybody here, you are created for eternity. I'm created for eternity. We're going to spend either one of two places in eternity. We're going to spend eternity in heaven. Remember when Jesus was trying to get his disciples to recognize that the kingdom he was setting up was not going to be a kingdom on planet earth, but it was be a kingdom in heaven. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. There were not, so I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. It's either eternity in heaven or eternity in the lake of fire. There's no annihilation. Your soul will burn forever and ever and ever if you rejected Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 7, Brother Dave mentioned it today, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Let's go to the words of Jesus. Let's turn to John chapter 3. Everybody turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Notice in John chapter 3 and verse number 18. The Bible says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come unto the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Now notice verse number 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Take your Bibles and turn back to Revelation chapter 20. Let's look at it. What's it say? The Bible says, look at it if you would with me. Are you there? The last part, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the book of life according to their works. Back to verse number 12, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The Greek word for small is mikos, which means small of little significance. The Greek word for maios, or for great, is maios. So there be nobodies that will be judged, and there'll be people of great significance that will be judged, but they'll all be judged in the same way. They'll be judged because their name is not written in the book of life, and they're going to be cast into the where?
Their sins and offenses are recorded the day they rejected
You got this one? Okay. Oh, yeah. I can hear myself now. I sound like I have a cold. All right. She said, my niece in Denver, Colorado. The landlord went to pick up her rent. It was 2 weeks late. And went through the door and found my niece laying on the floor. She had an epileptic seizure and went out into eternity. A half a mile from our church, Brother Tice. You know, our church is a half a mile from our church. Two people on Sunday afternoon at 4:15 a week ago crashed. One man ran through a stop sign, killed the lady, and killed himself. His wife is still in the hospital. None of us have a lease on life. You know, the obituary columns are full week in and week out of every age. We have no lease on life. 'Tis only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. We talked about that this morning. Everybody's soul will either go to heaven or hell. But notice the third place. We saw the seat, God on the seat, the souls, all the souls, small and great, that rejected Jesus. And now the sentence. Notice verses 14 and 15. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The fact that everyone who dies without trusting Christ will spend eternity in a conscious existence separated from God. The place is called the lake of fire. Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verses 8 and 9. Are you turning there with me? You got it, pal? Look at it with me. The Bible says, in the flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. All right, let's go back to the courtroom scene. God is on the throne. The books are open. The line of unsaved souls proceeding toward the judge, the almighty judge, the greatest judge, God, the eternal judge. Can you imagine? No excuses will hold up, because God is omnipotent. God is omniscient. God is omnipresent. God knows all. And the books are there for them to see what was recorded about their lives. No excuses. Who will be sentenced? The doubters. Yeah, can you just for a moment imagine Pharaoh standing up before God? Pharaoh, who just because of his title thought he was a god. The same Pharaoh that said to Moses, I'll let your people go, and did not let them go, and was plagued with 10 plagues. This Pharaoh who doubted God's power. This Pharaoh who was buried by the Red Sea. I believe now, God. Too late. Cast in a lake of fire. Those people who watched Noah building with that gopher wood, building that ark, they doubted God. They doubted the man of God who preached to them God's wonderful, wonderful love, and they doubted him. And now they come before the throne. They say, well, we believe now. We don't doubt him. Too late. Cast. Are you following this? Cast into the lake of fire. This is no Disney World rendition. This is real. This can stir every heart in here, as it stirred my heart as a teenager, to recognize the Almighty God on the throne. How about the deniers and the scoffers like Herod? I believe. Herod cast him in the lake of fire. How about King Agrippa? Oh, he was intelligent. Almost thou persuadest me. King Agrippa, what do you have to say? No, I'm persuaded. Too late. Lake of fire. The agnostics, the atheists. I like what John Getz says about the atheists. He says, God doesn't believe you either. The cults, all those who try to minimize or take Jesus Christ out of the plan of salvation, cast into the lake of fire. By the way, there'll be no annihilation. It's the lake of fire, Jehovah Witnesses. It's the lake of fire. The unbelievers of every age sentenced. Are you following this? The lake of fire. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. This is not just some state of mind or some symbolic thing. This is a topographical place, Pastor Matt. This is the lake of fire. Matthew chapter 25. You have your Bibles turned there. Matthew chapter 25. It's the everlasting fire. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. In Mark chapter 9, verse number 43, it's an unquenchable fire. And in thy hand, if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. In Jude, verse number 19, I want you to see Jude 13. Turn to Jude. Right before the book of Revelation, Jude 13. I want you to see this verse. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out of their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. The lake of fire. Revelation 14, 11. A constant torment forever and ever and ever and ever. How old are you? 17. Put 17 up next to forever. How old are you? Right back there, big guy right there. Yeah. 21. Put 21 up next to forever. Pastor Tice, 56. Forever. Tomorrow, Brother Matt, how old are you going to be? 33. Put that up next to forever and ever. Say it with me. Ever and forever and forever and forever and forever. We've got to grasp eternity. It will help us keep our purpose in view forever and ever and ever. Take your Bibles and turn back to Jude. Notice in Jude, verse number 22. And if some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. I remember reading an illustration that really, really made me stop and think. Having a handicapped child, Clint. I was reading about a fire that took place in a sane asylum. There were lots of insane people there, lots of handicapped people there, mentally handicapped people there. They'd gone through fire drills. They tried to get these people all ready for a fire. The worst thing could possibly happen. There was a fire. They tried to get everybody out in the hallways and usher them out way away from the building. But they went in and they literally found people that got under their bed because they were scared. They got under their bed and they literally had to pull them out from underneath their bed. They literally had to physically tackle some of those people as they were trying to run back into the fire. Many perished in the flames that night, brother. The illustration went on to say. Several workers did the best they could by pulling as many out of the fire as possible. I look at the world and I say, what in the world's wrong with you? Can't you see that we weren't just some amoeba that rolled up on the shore and then 10 million years later we became people? I don't have enough faith to believe that. God created us. The same God that created us loved us. The same God that loved us sent his son Jesus Christ to die for us. The same Jesus that died for us came forth out of the grave and he lives for us. And we have a wonderful salvation. I shake my head and I say, don't you understand? God loves you. There's an eternity. Your soul is going to spend eternity either in heaven or hell. We need to do our best to pull them out of the flames. To let them know that Jesus has made a difference in our life. How many young people know somebody, either in your family or a friend, or an acquaintance at school, you know somebody that's going to go to hell unless they return and repent of their sin and ask Jesus into their heart. You know somebody that's going to go to the lake of fire right now. You know somebody. Would you slip your hands up? You know somebody. What are you doing? What kind of compassion do you have to reach that somebody with the gospel? It's real. You know, Jesus spoke more, twice as many times on hell than he did heaven. It's real. He died. So he knew it was real. He died and shed his blood for us so that we could have a home in heaven. Father, I thank you for this time you've given us tonight. Thank you.